Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be looking at the temptation of Jesus. Only two verses in the Gospel of Mark covering this. Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 as we pick up. After Jesus was baptized, he has now been commissioned. He's been anointed and setting forth on his ministry, his earthly ministry. But there's something that's going to take place before all that happens. And we'll look at it here starting in Mark chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you help us, Lord, as we go through this text, Lord, that you'll be glorified. Lord, help us be able to understand it. Give us wisdom and knowledge tonight in your word, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing that I want to point out is Mark tells us this event occurred immediately. So the same Holy Spirit that descended on him as in the bodily shape of a dove, the Bible says that. I believe it was in Luke, said he's in bodily shape as a dove. But the Holy Spirit came and descended upon Jesus there as he got baptized. Well, this same Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit it's always been, same Holy Spirit as we have now. The same Holy Spirit, part of the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the same one that the Gospel of Mark says immediately that he was led, or he was, Mark says he was, he driveth him into the wilderness immediately. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, he says it like this. He said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And in Matthew says, in Matthew 4 and 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So Mark says driveth, and Luke and Matthew both say was led. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It means the same thing. The word there that's used, it just means he's being put forth is what that means. Either one that you want to use. Mark says it here, as he driveth him in the wilderness, he's leading him there for the express purpose of being tested, if you will, of the devil. This is a trial. This is a testing that Jesus is going to go through, and we know it's for 40 days, and as Matthew tells us, 40 nights. So 40 days and 40 nights that this takes place. And like I said, it's for the express purpose of Jesus being tested in the wilderness. That wilderness we see there, we see that word used a lot in the Bible. And sometimes it's translated as desert, a desert place. You may remember when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. They wandered around in it says both the desert and it also says the wilderness. And so the tabernacle in the wilderness, it's also called. And so a wilderness, what it means is a solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited place. That's what a wilderness is. Now, we know that Mark said that John the Baptist was there preaching in the wilderness. So it's probably the same wilderness, only further on out into it, because it says that Jesus was led, he was driven, and so into this wilderness. So it's a place where there's nobody else at. Now, Mark is unique from the other Gospels because he gives us a little information that the others don't about the place Jesus was in. He actually says down in verse 13 that he was with the wild beast. Now, the other Gospel writers don't mention that. However this was, this wilderness, I don't know what you think of when you think of a wilderness. I think of it usually as a large desert place where there's nothing around, maybe some rocks and a lot of sand. Sometimes I think of it more of like a big cow pasture with a few straggly trees or something out there in it. We know there were beasts, so there's rocks also, and also the devil takes him up onto rocks, and so there's rocks there. But there's no human beings that's living out here in this wilderness. And so it's out there in a solitude place where Jesus is going to be tempted of the devil. Now, whichever way it was, Jesus is the only one out there, except for these wild beasts and, of course, angels that come, and, of course, the devil, the Bible tells us. And so nobody can hear him, nobody can see him, nobody's witnessing this. But look at what it says there in verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. There's some significant things that we find in the temptation of Jesus. If you look at those, you'll find, first of all, we just talked about that wilderness that he mentions, the wilderness he was driven into. You'll find throughout all the Bible that wilderness, when it's used, it's usually used as a place to be tested and tried and put through a trial. That's what the desert is for, the wilderness and the desert. I use those interchangeably because the Bible does as well. But it's a place where people are tested. There's several instances throughout the Bible. You'll see that people go in the wilderness. I've already mentioned the children of Israel. As they left Egypt's bondage, it was only an 11-day journey into the promised land, but it took them 40 years to get there. And why was that? Because it was a time of testing. They had rebelled against God. They had done what they weren't supposed to do. And so God was testing them throughout that wilderness period. Now, he already knew what they were going to do. And let me tell you this. When you're in this wilderness period, this time of testing or trials or temptation, sometimes the Bible calls it, when you're in that wilderness period, it's a time that you're going to be revealed for who you are. Your true nature is going to come out in your wilderness area. We find that whatever you really are down inside is what's going to prevail from that. We saw the children of Israel, what happened to them. Only two of them were able to go into the promised land out of all the millions. Some say maybe 2 million people went on that journey out of Egypt. And so we see what's happened. They were tested and tried in that wilderness, and they didn't make it. Only a couple of them there. And so you'll find out who you are and what you're made of when you get in your testing period. Now, there'll be times in our lives where we're in these wildernesses, these desert places, and it seems like there's no way out. Sometimes it seems like it's hopeless and helpless, but it's a time that we're going through a refining process. And it depends on how you go through it and how you react in that wilderness of what kind of person you are. And when you come out of it, you can come out of it two ways. You can come out of it crying and begging and screaming, or you can come out of it knowing that you've been tested and tried and you've met the test. You've passed the test. And so that's the purpose of the wilderness or the testing places in the Bible. It was in the wilderness the children of Israel went. Elijah, you remember after Elijah was upon the mountaintop and he called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and then he runs out there, and what does he do? He spends 40 days in the wilderness, out in the desert places, alone. Of course, we all know he was depressed, but 40 days until the Lord finally got a hold of him and said, hey, it's time for you to get going for me, and sent him on his way. Paul, he was in a wilderness or a desert place in the Arabian desert. After he got saved, the Bible says, or Paul even in his own testimony said, he was in Arabia. He was there for 3 years before he came out and went to Jerusalem to speak with Peter and James and such. And so it was a time of testing, a time of trials, and it's very significant that we find that Jesus is there in this time period. Now, another thing I want to point out in this verse is about that 40 days. 40 days. Now that number 40, you're going to look through the Bible and you're going to find it used hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the scripture. And when we find it, we find some very important events that occur around this number 40. 40 days, 40 years, 40 years old people are. I've got a few listed here I want to remind you of. First of all, the great flood lasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible tells us. Now that flood, we know, was the trial of man as God poured out his wrath on this earth and destroyed all living creatures except for Noah and his family that was on board the ark. And 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord caused that rain to fall on this earth. It was a wilderness area then. The children of Israel wandering through the wilderness 40 years. And the Bible mentions that over and over and over. I was doing just a brief study on it earlier this week of how many times it mentions the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness 40 years. And I didn't count the number of times, but it was like over and over. It just kept saying it. So it's important. We see that Moses, he stayed up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord for how long? 40 days and 40 nights was how long he was up there. He was up there so long, in fact, the people down in the camp thought he wasn't ever coming back. And so they commanded Aaron to build them an idol to worship. And they got their gold and they melted it down and made a golden calf out of it and worshiped it. And when Moses came down and he saw that and he knew that God was going to destroy them, what happened? He went back up on the mountain and he stayed for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Again, he went up there for 40 days and 40 nights, praying and fasting. It says that he fasted and prayed for all that time, begging the Lord not to destroy those people. And so, 40 days. Does anybody know how old Caleb was when he was sent over to spy out the land? He was 40 years old. The Bible tells us he was 40. He himself, he's given a testimony of when he went out there, and he says he was 40. Goliath, the uncircumcised Philistine giant, he was out there in the middle of the field, and he was taunting the army of Israel for how long? 40 days he did this, going back and forth, threatening and intimidating them until David came up and killed him with a stone and a sling. Would anybody like to guess how long David reigned as king over Israel? 40 years. 40 years. And what about his son Solomon? Same as his dad, 40 years. And so that number 40 is very important. When you see that in there, pay attention to it. God's trying to tell us something. He likes to use that number as a specific number of important events. And so when it tells us this, it wants to get our attention. It's God is a God of order. Everything God does is orderly. It's not chaotic. The men today are chaotic. It's whatever will happen, but God has everything in order. If he says it's going to be 40 days, it's going to be 40 days. If he says 40 days and 40 nights, it'll be 40 days and 40 nights. If he says it's going to be 40 years, it'll be 40 years and not one day less or one day more. And so it's very important that we have this 40. The Gospel of Matthew goes into more details than what Mark does about the temptation of Jesus, and I want us to turn there and look at it so we can get the dialogue that happened between Jesus and the devil. We'll call him the devil because the Bible calls him that. We can call him Satan. You can call him a lot of names. He's got a lot of names in the Bible. But here it specifically says the devil, which means the adversary. It means the one that comes to accuse you. He's the accuser. He's the one that comes to speak against you in front of the Lord. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Let's read it. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." That right there, friends, is a temptation of Jesus here of the lust of the flesh. Remember that. That's the lust of the flesh right there. Verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he's immediately passed this test, this testing, this temptation of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And it says in verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now the devil's throwing in front of him the pride of life. Jesus right here, the devil is point blank in his face telling him, listen, if you can save your life and you can already be the Messiah of this world. You can be the Savior. Go ahead and do it if you'll just cast yourself off here. Because if you are who you say you are, you're really the Son of God, then he's going to protect you. He'll send angels down here to protect you. It's the pride of life. And Jesus could have gave into that. He could have said, you better believe he'd save me. Watch this. You know, that's what we'd have done. That's what I'd done. I'd say, listen here, devil, you better believe that's the truth. I am the Son of God. Watch this. And I jumped off. But not Jesus. Jesus did not do that. He comes back at him and rebukes him there. Jesus said unto him, "It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." This is the temptation, the lust of the eyes. So we've already had all three of these that are presented to men, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All are being mentioned in the temptation of Christ.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.